Amen.
Let your light shine. So, beloved in Christ, as we gather on this Epiphany Sunday, we celebrate the light that came into the world through the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. To paraphrase John's gospel, in him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. And his light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Epiphany is the Christian day and season that celebrates the revelation of Jesus to the world as our Messiah, our Savior. And the season lasts 7 weeks and ends with Transfiguration Sunday on February the 15th this year, just before Ash Wednesday and Lent. So one season moves into the next, of course. And we focus our celebration of Epiphany on the arrival of the wise men or the Magi. Scholars say they were probably learned astrologers who came from the near and far east to witness and honor Jesus' birth. And they came because they observed signs of this royal nativity in the stars at night and were guided in their search for him by an especially radiant star that led them all the way, a long way, to Bethlehem. As I told the folks on Christmas Eve, we like to depict them in the creches that we have to give a complete picture of the visitation of the nativity. But, you know, we pretty much know, many of us now, that from historians and scholars, that they probably showed up about two years later. And they visited Mary and Joseph in the home and everything. But they kept coming. They kept coming. They wouldn't stop. And the star led them to that space and everything. Other Christians use Epiphany to focus on Jesus' baptism as an adult by John the Baptist. They use Epiphany to celebrate that. That's when John reveals Jesus to others as the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. And when Jesus is baptized, God sends down a dove as he also proclaims Jesus as his beloved son. We'll celebrate that holy occasion of Jesus' baptism next Sunday, the second Sunday of the season of Epiphany. And finally, some Christians in other parts of the world also choose to identify Jesus' first public miracle of record when he turns that water into wine at a crowded wedding feast in Cana. They celebrate that as his Epiphany, because it's his revelation before the world as the miracle-working Messiah, the first miracle where people gathered there said, who is this guy and where does he get that power? This must be the Messiah. So we don't celebrate that first miracle with a special Sunday, but we do recognize its significance. Nonetheless, I prefer to focus our Epiphany celebration on the Magi's revelation of Jesus' birth because it celebrates God's hope-filled gift of a Savior in Christ who brings a divine illumination to a world shrouded in darkness, both then and now. Angels lit up that night sky to announce to the shepherds this new miraculous birth. And then a luminous star maintained its presence in the sky, probably day and night, to lead the wise men to find this holy child so that they too could share the good news of his coming over in their parts of the world. After their long star-led journey, the Magi returned home to tell everyone what they have seen, that Jesus Christ, the prophesied King of the Jews and the immortal Son of God, is now born and living in the world. And this birth that is revealed to them, they in turn reveal to the world. That's what Epiphany is. But now I want to slightly shift my focus from those wise men to us. Yeah, us. To explore how we too carry forth the good news of Jesus Christ, that he was born so that we might be reborn. How can we share that good news with those who don't know him as their Savior? And how can we carry the light of Christ into our world, a world that has so much darkness today, a world that is profoundly in need of Christ's illuminating gospel? Jesus came into our world to give light to those who were stumbling in the darkness of ignorance, and many were, and many still are. And he came to give hope to those who were struggling from fear and oppression, those who were dangling from the precipice of life and death. He came to live and die for us so that we might learn how to live and die for him and then live anew in him and live ultimately with him. Amen? Don't you like that trajectory? Live ultimately with him. Do any of you remember that? Oh, yeah. Okay, there it goes. That super popular children's movie Frozen, 2013. And also its much-loved theme song, Let It Go, right? You want to strike up a verse now? No. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Yeah, a song that children couldn't stop singing. Well, what Jesus wants us to do is to, wait for it, let it glow. Yeah, let it glow. Okay, Teresa, I know it sounds a little corny, but it is the whole point behind the words he spoke in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Let it glow. You are the light of the world. Same thing, right? He tells the listening crowd, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a light under a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bushel. Instead, they put it on a light stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, Kevin, let it glow. Right? Let it glow. In fact, y'all say that with me. You know I'm going to put you to work today. Say it with me. Let it glow. Yeah, let it glow. You almost feel a glow inside when you say it, right? Say it to yourself. In fact, yeah, don't say it to me. Say it to yourselves. It's like saying to yourself, let your light shine. Just say it to yourselves. Let it glow. You can close your eyes halfway maybe and make it a mantra, you know. In fact, what I would ask is that you say one or both of these two similar phrases to yourself quietly several times today and maybe even several times tomorrow and even maybe even the rest of the week. Just say or whisper to yourself, maybe when you first wake up or you sit down to lunch or you go to work, Kevin, or whatever, and you know, and stuff, and you have a moment to yourself and just say, let it glow. You know, and as a matter of fact, if somebody's giving you a hard time and you're trying to find, trying to express, feel the love of Jesus toward them, just say, let it glow, let it glow, or let your light shine, right? Somebody's bringing some darkness into your space. Let your light shine. But how do we do that? How do we let our light shine? How do we let it glow? Well, we must learn to receive and value and then share. Receive, value, and share. Repeat that with me. Receive, value, and share. I didn't have that in my manuscript, but once I put you to work, I can't stop. You know, receive, value, and share with others the light of Christ's gift to us, the gift of love and hope. That's what Christ brought, right? Love and hope. So we receive it and then share it, just like when we shared with each other the light of our candles when our sanctuary was darkened on Christmas Eve, and then we sang Silent Night, right? Yeah. So, do you remember that moment, how we illuminated the darkness around us simply by sharing the light of one candle lit after another? Wasn't that nice? Each time somebody lit someone with a candle, there was a little less darkness in the room, isn't it? That was really nice. So, to let our light shine, we must first receive the gift of love that Christ offers us. John 1st chapter 12th verse tells us, yet to all who did receive him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right, wait for it, to become the children of God. Whew. You can claim all the rights you want in this whole world and this whole nation and everything, but that's the ultimate right. That's the right that I want, the right to become the children of God. This gift is not just for a select few. It is simply for all who believe. When we accept Jesus into our lives, we are filled with his love and grace. If we really accept him into our lives, right? Fully accept him into our lives, we are filled with love and grace, and his love transforms us from the inside out and enables us to reflect his light outward to a world that so desperately needs it. Don't you agree? Yeah. Once we have received Christ's love, we must then learn to value it and value the hope that comes with it. In a world filled with despair and uncertainty, man, I tell you, hope can be a powerful force. Y'all know that? How powerful hope can be? Hebrews 6:19 reminds us that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. That's where hope needs to be. And that's how strong it needs to be, an anchor. It won't let you fly off the handle or drift out to sea with every doubt or every time somebody brings you some bad news or another way of looking at things and tell you don't know what you're talking about. There's no reason for hope. That hope needs to be an anchor in your soul that will not let the ship of hope budge from you. And when we truly value the hope that Jesus brings us, we can become steadfast in our faith and resilient to any trials we face, any at all. His light of hope, just like the radiant sun in the sky, can give us and other people the vision, because that's what the sun gives us, right? lights up the sky, and then we come out and we can see. It can give us the vision that we need to see new possibilities. This is a new year. Don't you want to see some new possibilities in your life? Don't you want to see some new possibilities for this church? Amen? Yeah, so the radiant sun, and the radiant sun gives us the vision to see new possibilities. And his light can also give us, what else does the sun give you? Maybe not today, but maybe in a few days. The sun gives you warmth, right? Sun gives you warmth. You step out in the sun, you feel the warm rays on your skin. The sun gives you warmth. So the Son of God will give us the warm feeling that comes from being accepted and feeling encouraged. Man, don't we need that, to feel accepted and encouraged through Christ. We should all value Christ's gift of hope that can inspire vision and encourage us, always encourage us. And finally, this hope is meant to be shared. So received, valued, and now shared. We are called to share the light of hope that Christ brings us with everyone around us, to become light bearers, right? Light bearers who pass our hope on to others, just like we were sharing that candlelight in the darkness on Christmas Eve, right? So each person who passed the light to another person's candle, they were light bearers, and that's what we're called to be. Now, I was writing this sermon Thursday night. I finished it this morning. I thought I was finished yesterday afternoon. I went to the gym, Bob, and I was like, oh, cool. I watched a little bit of football. I said, I ought to get back to that sermon and just make sure it's what it's supposed to be, because I haven't really read it through. But yeah, it's done. I got up this morning. I couldn't sleep. Got up this morning at 5:30. Said, let me sit down and look at this sermon. So it's never ready. So I went through it again. But I started Thursday night, Kevin. And while I was writing it, I was watching the 2025 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction and ceremony. Anybody watch that? I like to watch these award shows and everything. And I like to halfway watch them while I'm doing something else, because a lot of stuff I'm not interested in. But, you know, they start off with Sly and the Family Stone, right? Singing his music and stuff and everything. So you can't resist that. So I'm watching it while I'm writing the sermon. Take a little minute to watch somebody's performance. Some of them were good. Some of them not my cup of tea. But I enjoyed some of the musical performance. But I really enjoyed the fearless, irrepressible Cyndi Lauper. Anybody remember her? Cyndi Lauper? Well, she performed a few of her biggest hits because she was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, deservedly. But at one point, Patty, she asked, in fact, she demanded, not like me, but she demanded that the audience take out their cell phones. Yep, take out their cell phones, turn on their flashlight apps, and hold them up high. Y'all seen that on TV before. Maybe y'all been to a few concerts that did that. You know, the cell phone lifted up. Oh, you said, yeah? You been to a few of those? So she told them to hold them up high. Now, some were reluctant, but she insisted. And when they all did it, you know what? You could see all those cell phone lights shining in that dark theater. It was amazing. It always is when you see that, right? When crowds do that, hold up the light and everything, and you see like stars across the night sky, all of them lit up in the theater. And then she said to them with a deep passion and awareness, because you knew she was talking out of her own life. She said, remember, we are a community of lights. And that's important, because it can get real dark sometimes. I don't know where that came from. I don't know, maybe some of us know that it can get real dark sometimes. That's a powerful manifesto of mercy. A manifesto of mercy. It was like saying, hold up your phones and let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds, especially in the dark. When they need your light, people need your light, your goodness, in the darkness most. And then Cyndi began singing her 1983 hit song time after time. I'm sorry, y'all. I didn't know where that came from. The songs, I said let it glow, not let it flow. Sorry about that. But anyhow, she started singing time after time. And she was joined in the duet by the British vocalist Ray. She's becoming a big hit. I've seen her on TV. She's really good. So they sang it together. And it was beautiful, but especially that refrain of that song. If you're lost, you can look, and you will find me time after time. And if you fall, I will catch you. I will be waiting time after time. I can just imagine Jesus echoing Cyndi Lauper's words by saying to all of us, you all, Winslow, and families beyond Winslow, you all are a community of lights. And that's important. Come on, John, hang in there. Because you know, like I know, that it can get really dark in this world. Sometimes, right now. All right, John, stay out of Venezuela. Right now. Isn't that right? It can get dark. So we should be that community of lights for others who face darkness each day, receiving and then valuing and then sharing the light, the gift of light that Christ gives to us, but also recognizing and valuing and sharing God's gift of our special talents and our abilities. Those are God's gifts to us as well. Scripture tells us that our talents are given to us by God. Now, you know, preachers are supposed to preach in the first Sunday of January, early January, about our gifts because want people to start using the gifts that maybe they haven't been using and certainly to benefit the church. So there, here comes my gifts message, right? Scripture tells us that our talents are given to us by God to help others and to serve Christ's church, whether those talents are in music or art or cooking, Teresa, or reading or speaking or writing or teaching or building and repairing things, anything, anything. So many things can be gifts. You've got gifts that I don't even know of and hardly mention. I know Patty has the gift of music, but I know she's probably got a dozen more gifts I don't even know about. But it's so important to use those gifts, and even gifts in parenting and childcare, because some of you are wonderful parents, I know that. And in addition to our talents and abilities, we should also learn to value and share our spiritual gifts, which God also gives us, and which the Holy Spirit can awaken in us. So there are talents and abilities, and then there are spiritual gifts. You can call these our natural gifts, right? Basically, and our spiritual gifts. And we find those spiritual gifts listed in several places of the scripture. I won't go through them right now today, but they include gifts of serving. Gifts of serving is a spiritual gift. Gifts of leading others. Leadership is a spiritual gift. Administration is the name of one of them. Gift of helping is a gift. The gift of teaching, you know, which I try to do as when I preach. Or the spiritual gifts of being naturally generous. Generosity is a spiritual gift that some people really just have. They just can't help being generous. Can't help just always wanting to give. You know, some people give because it's a holiday or it's Christmas or a birthday or something, or they feel like they're supposed to give a gift, but some people just can't help themselves. They just got to give, you know. Or encouragement is a spiritual gift. If you have an encouraging spirit that you just want to encourage people when they need it, or helping. There's a gift called the gift of helps. I never understood that name, but it's for a spirit where you just always want to rush to somebody's aid and help them. If you see somebody getting out of the car or whatever or something and they need some help with their packages or something, you have a spirit of helping. Those are spiritual gifts. I'll do a message on them one day and we'll go through them. But anyhow, whatever our God-given natural talents and spiritual gifts are, we should first try to recognize them because most people don't. I took a spiritual gifts inventory. I'm not sure if this church has done it. But I took it several years ago, and I learned that you have several gifts, but you're supposed to have a primary gift. Mine is education. That's why I need to find opportunities to teach and everything. And there are other spiritual gifts. I don't remember the others, but I have maybe three or four that elevated above others and everything. But anyhow, we should recognize them and then value them and then share them. Those are the three words I'm using, right? Recognize or receive, value, and share. Why? Because that is how we let our light shine before others, as Jesus commands us. And that is how others will recognize God's gifts in us and then maybe start searching for gifts in themselves. And then they'll glorify not us, but our God, which is always, always supposed to be our ultimate goal, isn't it? To glorify God. Amen? I'm almost done, y'all. The Apostle Paul, Peter, rather, in his first epistle tells us, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's abundant grace that comes in various forms. I think the King James calls it manifold grace, one of those old words, but it just means grace in many different forms. And I can express Peter's prescription to you, however, more simply and even musically, Patty. In the words of that popular song, I'm going to ask you, sing with me a little bit. This little light of mine. Y'all know it. Sing it with me for me. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I should have let you lead. You had the right key. I didn't. Yeah, so when that happens, when we let our light shine before others to glorify God, wow! What an abundant blessing will come over us. And when people see our good deeds that benefit others, and especially when we testify that the love of Christ is the reason and the inspiration for our good deeds that we do, then just watch what may happen next. They just might ask us to tell them about this Christ whom we know and love and who inspires us to serve others. When you see people who are serving others, and people looking, why are you doing so much? Because the love of Christ compels me. Who is this Christ? Where is he? Where can I find him? And then if we tell them earnestly about our church, where we love and learn about Christ, and as we worship God, and where we love one another and pray for one another, watch what happens. They might just want to come to our church, right? You might want to see the room where it happens, right? Take out of Hamilton, the room where it happens. You know, and when they do, they will witness how wonderfully and devoutly we worship God and serve the Lord here. And also how earnestly we love and pray for one another every Sunday and between Sundays, I hope. Well, remember what Jesus says in John 13:35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You want people to know you're his disciples? That's all you got to do is love one another. In fact, those words by Jesus inspired that popular hymn. I'm sure, I hope we all know it. You know, we don't have to sing it. They will know we are Christians by our love. Does anybody know that? It's a great old hymn. They will know we are Christians by our love. That's all the evidence it takes, folks. Our loving actions, whether in our worship, in our prayers, our testimonies of God's goodness, our offerings that we give, you know, our ministries, all of our loving actions speak volumes about our active faith and about the source of our light. And collectively, we shine that light of Christ just like the early Christian church did in Acts chapter 2, led by the apostles. We shine that light, and when we serve others with love and kindness, Christ's light shines brightly and deeply into our souls, no matter how dim or dark our souls may feel at any time. And then we shine that light of Christ out into the world, just like passing along the light of those candles on Christmas Eve. Paul writes in Ephesians, "For once you were darkness, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." That's what he said. Now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. I kind of want to read that again, but I know I need to wrap up. Live as children of light. That should have been the title of the sermon. So let us be intentional in our efforts to be that, what does she call it? That community of lights. During Epiphany, this season of light, and beyond Epiphany, to be that light for others each day, time after time. Yeah? In the words of Cindy Song, let's shine our little light with others in need, others who languish in darkness. Let us offer them hope and support and encouragement. Let us offer them the light and love of Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the true light of the world. Help us to receive his love fully, to value his love deeply, and then to share his love boldly and broadly. May our lives reflect your glory and draw others to you, and empower us by your Holy Spirit to be true vessels of your love and hope in a world that needs it so desperately. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for listening, everyone.